Matthew chapter 11 today, and today the rebellion against Jesus is gaining momentum. So let's jump right into our chapter.
When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Matthew had already stated that John the Baptist had been arrested, and later in chapter 14 we'll see the reason why. But he's sitting in jail, and he sends some messengers to Jesus to ask if he was the promised Messiah. Now, I'm sure John was thinking, if I'm the Messiah's forerunner and Jesus is the Messiah, what am I doing still sitting in prison? You see, the Jewish expectations of the time were that the Messiah would overcome evil, judge sin, and bring about this global kingdom. So what was going on here?
Now, this is a hard place for John. For anyone who's ever followed God's calling, only to find yourself stuck in a really hard place, you can relate. Lord, I used to be so sure, but right now, I gotta ask, did I get this right? Am I missing something? Is Jesus really the one? And Jesus doesn't answer the question directly. Instead, he points to the signs that he performed. Look at verse 4. Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor." Now, I think Jesus is reminding us, in ministry, when life gets hard, to get your eyes off yourself and focus on the work that God is doing in the people around you. God is keeping his promises. He never promised an easy life, but look around you and you'll see God working, fulfilling his promise, and you will see signs pointing to Jesus. And so the messengers take that answer back to John.
And after that, Jesus begins speaking to the crowd around him about John. In verse 9, Jesus calls John a prophet, and in verse 11, he says that of all the men who have ever lived on earth, John the Baptist was the greatest. But the religious leaders had rejected John and his message. In verse 12, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent people have been raiding it." The religious leaders wanted a kingdom, but they did not want the kingdom that John was announcing, the kingdom Jesus was offering. So they resisted the message and fought against it.
Now, verse 16 is a favorite of mine. Jesus compares that generation of people to a group of children out in the marketplace, playing music and trying desperately to get all the other kids to dance. In verse 17, the kids call out, "We played the pipe for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn." Did you ever go to one of those middle school dances where all the kids stand along the wall with arms crossed, barely brave enough to tap a foot, so worried about what everyone thinks of them that they just can't enjoy the music? Jesus is trying to move you, to get you to feel, to sing, to dance, feel something. See, John's message was like the dirge, the sad song that says so much, that draws out your emotion, your hurt or your regret, your mourning, something that makes you own your feelings, your sins, and bring them to God. And yet, people resisted. Arms crossed, they stood at the wall, unmoved. And then Jesus came like a song of celebration, that beat so catchy that you just can't resist. He came with joy, forgiveness, peace, love, hope, so good. So let it move you. But the arms stayed crossed, not so much as a toe tap or a head bob. The lame walked, the blind saw, sinners were changed, and yet the religious were unmoved. So the real question here, of course, is what about you? Will you feel God's rhythm? Will you get your back up off the wall and dance?
Now, the kingdom that Jesus was offering was different than the kingdom the leaders were expecting. The scribes and Pharisees were expecting a Messiah to come who would praise them for their righteousness, overthrow Rome, and then punish those wicked sinners. But then comes Jesus. And he doesn't praise the Pharisees, he rebukes them. He doesn't punish the sinners, he eats and drinks with them. And so the Pharisees and scribes turn their backs on the one who came to set them free.
Now here again we see the attitude of Jesus towards sinners. When the Pharisees wanted to attack Jesus, they called him a glutton, a drunkard, and a friend of sinners. Jesus so identified himself with the sinners who needed him most that he was accused of being one of them. Now, we know Jesus never sinned, so he was not a glutton nor a drunkard, but he also wasn't too good to be called their friend. In fact, the Pharisees' greatest insult to Jesus was to call him friend of sinners.
And Jesus goes farther than just showing how the religious leaders were rejecting the kingdom. In verse 20, we see Jesus call out entire towns and villages for their rejection. Matthew says, "Then Jesus began to denounce the towns in which most of his miracles had been performed, because they did not repent." He mentions cities that we have seen Jesus do amazing miracles in, such as Capernaum. But he condemns these cities because of their lack of repentance. In chapter 3, we mention that the way to enter the kingdom of heaven was through repentance. And here we see that in spite of all those miracles, these towns rejected that kingdom message.
Now look at what Jesus says in verse 21. "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you." Now this would shock the Jews. Capernaum, the ministry home of Jesus himself, would experience greater judgment than the pagan city of Tyre, the home of wicked Queen Jezebel. How does that happen?
Well, the city of Tyre was wicked, as was its sister city, Sidon, but they were Gentile cities who were not part of God's covenantal people. Bethsaida and Chorazin, on the other hand, had received the law of God and received the promises of the kingdom through the prophets. Therefore, they would be held to a higher accountability on the day of judgment. Jesus said in Luke 12, "From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded, and from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked." The Jews had been given much. The word of God had been given through Moses and the prophets, but they still rejected it. Therefore, they would receive a stricter judgment.
And Jesus then compares the people of Capernaum to the people of Sodom, and the judgment is the same. The headquarters of Jesus' ministry would experience a more severe judgment than the wicked people of Sodom. Now, this brings us back to the fairness of God. When we share our faith, a common rebuttal that we hear is the idea that the peoples in the jungles of Africa are being treated unfairly. They haven't heard the gospel, so it's not fair for God to send them to hell. And lots of people offer that as their reasoning for not believing. Well, Jonathan, you're there in Kenya, in Africa, so what do you think about this one?
Well, I like to bring up 2 points. The first is that the church is growing faster in Africa than anywhere else on the planet right now. So America, you can stop worrying. And secondly, I'd like to share this passage right here. God is a fair and righteous judge. Those sins committed in ignorance will not be judged as severely as sins committed knowingly. I share then that since they have heard the truth, they will be judged more severely than the tribesmen in the jungles. They should worry about their own souls. Then they can go and care for the souls of the others.
That's good. God is fair. Basically, part of the gospel message is that without Jesus, everyone gets exactly what they deserve. And that means death for all. That's 100% fair. But remember, grace and mercy are not fair. They're better than fair. God is gracious and God is merciful. And so he sent Jesus to give you life. So you get fair or you get so much better. And it's your choice. And Jesus ends this passage with a powerful invitation for those who are still outsiders in the kingdom of heaven. Verse 28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus is calling people to come to him, to find rest in him. So unfold your arms, unload your burden, and get on the floor and dance, and sing and cry and feel his love.
Matthew chapter 11. The Rebellion Against the King on Through the Word.
Thanks for joining us for today's quick audio guide. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.